Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Monday, April 25th, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. It would be great if you did that. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival, and you can follow me, your host, Chris Lambert, on Twitter, at Chris Lambert. All right, this is episode 164, and I haven't been with you guys in a while. It's just me, solo. I've been on a mini hiatus for a few weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm sorry that I left you guys. I'm sorry I left you. Let me cry. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I was just really, really busy, and I was focusing on the big show at Proctor's Theater, and I just came off of that. I got back in town from doing that yesterday afternoon, and now I'm back. Why don't we just start there? So I did the show. I want to say this was the very first time. It's not the first time I headline. It's not my first rodeo. As my dad did remind me when I was talking to them before the show, I think it's important to note your mini milestones when you just have one of those away gigs that you're headlining and stuff. And I have had some away games, some headlining shows, but it was something about that show that maybe I put a lot on it, but I had a great time. But I was just telling my parents, they're like, oh, why would you be nervous? But I think ever since I was a kid, there's always been anxiety or nerves before a show, before really any show, even if it's just a bar show. It's always that anxiety that you feel, the nerves, the butterflies right before you go on. And then usually when you're on stage, that's when I'm okay. That's when I feel at home. Like, anything can happen, but there is still that comfort when you finally get on stage. And I had a really good time. I was kind of thrown off a little bit because my recorder that I'm actually recording on now was, I didn't know that I had enough. My recorder takes a minute to boot itself up because it's essentially a mini computer. And so I was trying to record everything, and I was like, oh, come on, you're not going to fucking turn on when I need you to turn on. And so, but I just went on, and I had a great time. It just seemed like it went by really fast. I had a fun set. The crowd was really cool. They were one of those crowds that they wanted the jokes to be like boom, boom. So they were just really into it. I got some really good laughs, and the material that I was did some newer bits that I've been working on for the past month, and that went well. So it was really cool. And Ray Sani opened. She did her thing. She got busy, did her thing. Ethan Ullman hosted. Thomas Attila Lewis, those two guys, the producers and bookers of the show. And we had a great night. Then we just had burritos at Bombers. And I left my backpack at the burrito place and had to turn around and get it when I got to the hotel. It only took 15 minutes. I'm telling you everything. And that was a scary moment. But overall, it was a great time. And I wanted to just, thank everybody. Thanks to Thomas and Thomas Attila Lewis, Ethan Ullman, Ray Sani for doing the show, and it was awesome. And shout out to the homie Craig Robinson for put me on his shows at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. All last weekend, I got to do a full weekend of shows prepping for the show in Schenectady. And it was awesome. There's pictures on Twitter and Facebook. And it was really neat because that was, I would say, the first time that my name was on the marquee like that in lights. So that was cool. And shout out to Ethan for taking a flick of that. It was really neat, really heartwarming. Now back to the drawing board. There are some dates. If you live in the Maryland, D.C. area, I'm going to be at the Cellar Door in August. And that is August 14th. I think it's on a Sunday night. But I can give, why don't I just give you some dates? Let's do this. Let's give you some dates. I'll be at the Standing Room on April 26th in Long Island City at 8 p.m. Maxwell's Tavern in Hoboken, New Jersey at 9 o'clock on April 27th. April 29th, reschedule the Cobra Club show at 9:30 p.m. The Amber Nelson show, Live from Outer Space, I believe is the name of the show. Really fun show. I haven't done it in a while. April 30th, Comedy Outliers, hosted by Mike Brown and Brandon Collins. 7 o'clock p.m. in downtown New York City, Wall Street area. That's going to be a lot of fun. I plan on having some fun down there. May 26th, Paisanos, East Rutherford, New Jersey at 8 o'clock p.m. And some more dates. Just go to chrislambert.com and more dates will follow. As soon as I get the bookings, I will post them and you'll know if you want to come to a show. All right, so a lot happened in between the last podcast with the homie Keenan Weaver. When Keenan was on the show, we were talking. He said, "Oh man, let me know when you go to Port Chester to go to the movies," because he lives pretty close to my job, really close actually. And he told me to invite him the next time I went, and so I did that, and we went to see Eye in the Sky. The movie with, it's basically like a drone movie with Helen Mirren and a bunch of British actors. And oh my God. And what's the guy from Jesse from Breaking Bad? Aaron? Jesse, what is it? Eye in the Sky. You know, I didn't know I was going to, I always do this. You would think after 3 years of doing this fucking podcast that I would, you know, actually have my shit together. What the hell is the name of this guy? It's Aaron Paul. Okay. What is this? Okay, Colonel. Okay, this is a little summary. Colonel Catherine Powell, a military officer in command of an operation to capture terrorists in Kenya, sees her mission escalate when a girl enters the kill zone, triggering an international dispute over the implications of modern warfare. Solid movie. I think this might have been Alan Rickman's last role, and he had a really good line that I forgot, but at the time it was pretty dope. And it was, if that was his last movie, that's a really dope way for him to go out, if that was his last role. Good movie, solid. In a way, it kind of reminded me of a play. It's one of those movies that reminded me of this other film called Good Kill with Ethan Hawke, who was basically undergoing the same dilemma. And it was solid. I think that if I discussed it on here, the best thing about that movie was Zoe Kravitz was in this like great dress and she looked super hot. But it was one of those dilemmas, and it was funny how you know, oh, should we do this, and they end up, I don't want to spoil it. But it was just funny how, you know, they tried to, oh, should we do this? Is this moral? And there was a U.S. like a senator that they were looking to for counsel on the issue. And it's like, and he was playing ping pong in China. And he's like, well, just fucking blow it up, just blow it up. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much what the American guy would have said in a situation like that. But pretty solid movie. Yeah, there's so many movies that I saw. I don't know if I want to get into all that. I don't know how long this thing is going to be. I just kind of want to hang out with you guys for a little bit and let you know what's going on in my life. And what, you know, and the big thing was less than a week ago, Prince died. And that sucks. I mean, he was a legendary, iconic, hyperbole really does that guy no justice. You know, he was one of the best to ever do it. He was a singular talent. And I'm not going to front and act like, and I said this on Twitter, you guys, I'm not going to front and say that I was the biggest fan. You know, when I was younger, he kind of weirded me out because he was very ostentatious sexually, in a way, I guess. He oozed sexuality. It's just weird. If you're 7 or 8 years old and this guy's, you know, you're seeing a guy essentially dress in women's clothes and have women's hair, woman his hair done up like a lady, like a chick, it kind of freaks you out a little bit. But he was super talented. And actually, the very first concert that I went to was to see Prince at the Capitol Center. I was trying to find that, which no longer exists. It's a pretty much a, it's essentially a strip mall in Landover, Maryland. And it's where the Wizards, where the Washington Bullets used to play. And I remember my godmother/cousin took me to that concert. And I think me and some of my other cousins went. And I just remember, like, I think I was just too young and too immature to get it. Like, he was good. I know he rocked out, and he was just, I thought it was cool that he was like, DC. He just kept saying DC, like, as he was jamming out. And I was like, oh, he's talking about us, you know. You know, like, he's, you know. So that was cool. And I know, like, he had a huge influence on 90% of the musicians that I know and love. He influenced them to the highest degree, and I thank him for that, you know. I remember when I was a kid, I guess one of the biggest impacts that he had, you know, because I remember his shit, like, you know, The Most Beautiful Girl. Could you be the most beautiful girl in the world? Kind of cracked at the end of that. What else? Diamonds and Pearls. You know, that was a jam. That was a jam of his that I liked a lot. 1999. Remember Party Man from Batman, one of the first live action, recent, like a modern, if you will, Batman movies, like 1991-ish, 90, early 90s. And then he had Graffiti Bridge. He brought out Tevin Campbell. Tevin Campbell, one of my favorite singers as a kid. And his second album, I'm Ready, he had the really freaky, sexy, that like sexy song, Shh. And it was a song, Break It Down. I don't want nobody else to hear the sounds. This love is a private affair. Fair, interrupt the flow, no, they better not dare. You got to break it on down. And then Tevin's like, he's singing, like, that's Tevin singing the hook, and he says, like, I like to do you after school like some homework. Am I getting you hot in the daytime? Think something like that. Oh my god, like that was the shit. Like, and that's when you start to like girls, and he had the girl pretty much having a, I guess the girl was masturbating on that record, and it was just like, okay, this is just freaky sexy shit. And it was amazing. And that was a guy, like, he definitely had his influence. And I'm looking at the wiki, the track listing for I'm Ready. Prince had Halls of Desire, three records, I want to say. Halls of Desire, Come and Take a Walk Down the Halls of Desire. I'll do what you want. I can take you higher. These are the Halls of Desire. Damn, see, I remember that. I remember a lot of these songs, man. Paris 1798430. He wrote that. Paris 1798430. My soul's in hiding. That's where a brother be hiding till he get his due. And how did the song go? Start off, Ebony American, heart torn in two, watching his soul disappear with no trace or clue. A brother got lost, living for the city, taking dope from the man. Ain't nowhere to run when it's from Uncle Sam. I said now, Paris 1798430. Damn, man. See, he had those jams. He wrote that shit. And you could tell, like, you could tell when maybe he wrote a song or an artist was doing their impression of Prince, or they were doing Prince. You could just tell. And I was smart enough to know that, like, guys like Van Hunt, if you listen to Van Hunt's On the Jungle Floor, you can definitely tell the influence. That's one of my favorite Van Hunt records, albums, 2006, I want to say. And that was amazing. And it wasn't them trying. I guess maybe they were emulating him to a certain degree. But if you look at that album cover, Van Hunt has a purple out. He pretty much has a purple outfit on, and it's very funky. So one of my favorite acts of all time, Annie Clark, St. Vincent. When I first saw her, I saw her at this place called Castle Clinton in the Wall Street area in Lower Manhattan. And it was in between Marry Me, the Marry Me album, and before she put out Actor, she had this song called Marrow. I don't think it was recorded yet, or it wasn't released, but she did it, and she was like, this is my Prince dance jam. And when she played it, I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I totally get it. The Foreign Exchange, Fonte, I know, was influenced by Prince. I know Nicolay was. I mean, just everybody, man. I was too immature to really fuck with him hard like that, but I knew he was great, and I know what that loss means to a lot of people, and it's just a time to just really celebrate that guy, man. Celebrate, listen to his music. If you haven't, I need to go back and listen to his shit. But he was just a part of my life and everybody's life, especially if you're around my age, you know, 36, you're probably into it. Yeah, man. So RIP Prince Nelson, man. I don't know what else, other kind of tribute I could do, but just by singing a couple of those jams that I remember. Fife Dawg died. That was sad. That's a death that's kind of hard too, because definitely Fife influenced. He was a part of Tribe Called Quest, and it influenced the music that I listen to now, especially the hip hop that I like. You know, Q-Tip is in my top five. Fife was just a dope ass rapper, and I did a. I feel like I don't know if I talked about him on the last episode. I don't know if he was still. I don't know if he had died after I recorded the last episode, but I was on the Swatches and Boomboxes podcast with Neil Charles and Jim Search, and we were talking about, you know, Midnight Marauders, how that album affected me, how it influenced my musical taste. And a lot of some of the things, especially Fife Dawg saying that famous line on a war tour where he says, "I never let a statue tell me how nice I am," and the profundity of that is just it's something that reigns true. It's still relevant today, and it's sad. You know, we lose all these Black artists at a young age. Fife was what, 45? Prince, 57. It's just a sad loss. How do we transition, you guys? NBA playoffs. All right, lost steam on that. Cavs won. They swept Detroit. Detroit was giving them a little burn, man. They wasn't going easy, but they got swept, and I'm glad. It seems I've been texting comedian and friend of the podcast Jason Lawhead, been texting him back and forth, just hoping that we're just talking about the Cavs. It seems like they're locked in. You know, it seems like Kevin Love is locked in, Kyrie is balling, and LeBron is, you know, LeBron is himself, and they're doing their thing. So I just hope they continue. I'm a little nervous about Miami. It seems like they're picking up a lot of steam, and they scare me in the East. I don't think anybody else scares me too much, but Miami, and then Steph Curry had his MRI, and he's going to be out. He's got a sprained MCL. He's going to be out 2 weeks. So, you know, that's another guy, like I've said before, like I said last year, you know, I loved Steph Curry, and he won the chip, glad for him, and I'm just hoping that he can be healthy so we can just have a playoffs where all the star players, you know, I don't want everybody, I don't want, if you're not a star player, it's not like I don't give a shit, but all the people that are competing, all the starters, I want them to be healthy to have a good playoffs, and, you know, everybody is matched up well. That's what I hope for, basically. So that's good. And I hope Steph Curry gets back. He's going to be out for 2 weeks, and he was already injured with his ankle. So somebody put a meme up with him holding his leg with a picture of Derrick Rose. And, I did retweet it. It's like the internet is just undefeated. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care how nice you are. Or anything. If you are in a perilous moment or just a down moment in your life, it will never let you forget, and it will do things. It will Photoshop agony on your face and cause just even more pain to you. But I had to retweet it. So, yeah, just hoping that the playoffs have been fun. What I've been able to watch, I haven't been able to watch that much because I've been busy, and just looking at my apartment, it's like, what the fuck, Chris? Because I just sleep here, and I have a day off, and Monday I'm off, and it's just like, I don't feel like doing anything. But I wasn't a total lady, Freudian slip, you guys. I wasn't a total lazy asshole because I got up this morning, and granted it was a little late. Like, I got up really early at 3 and watched TV and went back to sleep. But then I said, you know what? I should go get my license renewed because it expires at the end of the month. It expires on Saturday. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. And I get there. The line's wrapped around the building. And they only let a certain amount of people in. So I was just, all right, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait. And it's just going to be what it is. Like, I don't have any control over it. So let me just wait it out. And I was there for 2.5 hours. It was just a lot of waiting. Anytime you go to the DMV, you're just going to be waiting. And you have to deal with it. You have to do it. You're going to pay taxes, you're going to die, and in between that, you're going to spend a couple of hours at the DMV. It's probably going to be the equivalent of a day at the DMV. You know how they have those breakdowns, you actually spend like 18 hours on the toilet or something in the bathroom or 5 hours or whatever amount it is eating just throughout your whole life. You're going to spend most of that. You're going to spend like a third of it at the DMV. I don't even know if I'm not good at math, but it's like you're going to spend a lot of time in the DMV waiting no matter what. It's just they made us there was a 20 or 30 minute stretch where everybody just went to lunch. There was like three employees went to lunch, and I was sitting beside this old lady after I finally got in after waiting about an hour. And this middle-aged woman, well, she was an older lady, and she was just complaining. She was kind of like heckling the line. She's like, this line hasn't moved, and we're just sitting here like mummies. We're just sitting here like mummies. And she just kept going on and on until I engaged her. I was like, yeah, you know, I talked to her for a little bit. And she had a knee surgery, and she had to come back because she didn't have her marriage license. And I think her son was in line because somebody stole his wallet, so she was waiting on him. And you just have to reserve yourself to just be, you're just going to be there for a couple hours. You just have to do your time. Bureaucracy, man. Bureaucracy in full effect. That's the DMV. That's like municipal government, like local government. Like when I was telling you guys when I got that ticket, you're just going to be in line for most of the day. Your night's going to be fucked up. Like you get off work and you're like, oh, I got to pay this ticket or I have to pay a fine. And they're going to get your money in some kind of way. And then and that's it. You just have to be mentally prepared for it. Wow. And then there was this guy that was sitting next to me and the old lady. And he was talking about, like, I was like, yeah, you just have to be here, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, the government, they just take your money and they'll get their child support from you, too. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, his dad is in a nursing home. He's telling me how his dad's in a nursing home and they were getting his Social Security, but they found out that he had child support payments, so they took that out too. I mean, good for them. And he was saying, like, yeah, because my dad left us and yada, yada, yada. I said, well, where does the money go? Does the money go to your mother or does the state just take it out? Because, like, what if the mom's not around? What if the mother's not around or the child isn't around or is old? Does the money, I don't know. I have to look into that. I don't know. I'm not going to look into it. But if you're a lawyer and you know about this stuff, let me know and I'll report back or something. But yeah, that was an interesting conversation. But I got my license with my fat face on it. And what else, guys? I guess I could give you a music review. I listened to the new Royce the 5'9", his new album called Layers, and that's good. I was playing 2K, and I was listening to that, and it's good. It's just a lot of these Detroit rappers just spit, and it's something about these guys that like recently, I guess within the last 8 to 10 years, just I've noticed like guys like Elzai, Black Milk, and Royce. I guess those three. I can't think of anybody else right now. I'm not gonna just say all Detroit rappers, but it just seemed like those guys are people that are like they really put themselves into the music. Like they insert their life. It's autobiographical and it's hard. And it's just really expository in a vulnerable way. It's just something that I noticed about at least those three dudes that just that's good, that's endearing. And then you're essentially just willing to go on the journey with them and go where they take you. Off the first listen, it is really good. And I haven't listened to. I think maybe I listened to Prime once, the record that he did 2 years ago with DJ Premier. So I have to just go back and listen to it. But I think the first record on Layers was just like he just like really broke some shit down. Let me see what the name of that is. I'm scrolling down on my iTunes, trying to find the Royce the 5'9 music that I was talking to you about. The first song is called Tabernacle. Yeah, and it's a really good, it's a story about, I guess, when he started rhyming, and then his grandmother dying, and his first kid being born, and his first big show, and it just really sets the tone for the whole album, and it's just like really, it's pretty dope, man. Yeah, so I just listened to that like Saturday. I recommend it. When I did post on Facebook that I was listening to it, there's a couple guys that are like, yeah, that's a good album, it's underrated and blah blah blah. So real people know, you know what I'm saying? Real Bamas, real people know about this Royce joint, young. Beyonce came out. She just randomly dropped an album on Saturday, and I listened to a couple songs. It's all right, you know, but people on the internet, people were going apeshit, and the think pieces were out. Album hasn't even been out, really. Has it been out 48 hours? It's Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah, I guess like less than 2 days, and there's think pieces. There's people arguing over the internet. It's amazing. Some people saying it's mediocre. It's not good. Beyonce's not good. I don't know if I jumped ship on Beyonce. I always think Beyonce's super talented. I like her. She's pretty. She's talented. She can sing. But certain people really, I don't know if you guys can hear somebody mowing the grass at like 5 o'clock outside. I don't know. But it's really irking me. Yeah, Beyonce's good, but people, you know, go ape shit. And I don't know why some people have to try to ruin other people's fun. I mean, if you like Beyonce, you're going to get the album. You're gonna have a good time with it. And then in another month or so, they're not going to be talking about it. But for now, album hasn't been out for a week. Let people enjoy it. People tend to get really upset when other people are having fun. When Star Wars came, if it's not this, it's going to be something else, you know? And I was just thinking, like, I just had a mini epiphany last year. Like I told you, when I went to that Sky Zoo concert, I was like, okay, that's my Comic-Con. I really like the rappers that I like. And yeah, I want to get their CD, want them to sign a picture, the CD, and I want to take a picture with them. That's my Comic-Con. That's the shit that I nerd out on. So I don't get upset or frustrated, but some people just get really mad, and then they go to Facebook and Twitter, and they just espouse these diatribe. Well, I didn't think it was that good, and you know, it is what it is, man. Just enjoy it. And they're saying it's about Jay-Z cheating on her, and then the girl that he supposedly cheated on her with said something online, and then the Beyonce's beehive got in on her. And at one point they were trying to take down Rachel Ray, but it was Rachel Roy, who I never heard of until yesterday. And so she was getting dragged on the internet. And yeah, man, it's the internet flavor of the week, I guess. Yeah, but Beyonce's hot. It's cool that she's able to do that stuff on her own for the most part without, you know, marketing, because she's at the level, I guess you could say she's the, and with regards to comedy, she's the Louis C.K. of pop music. She can just say, she obviously worked on her shit before, because she's got videos, I believe, to every song. And, you know, she just dropped the album on Tidal, and I think it's on iTunes now, but it's a Tidal exclusive, and you know, people are loving it, and she can do whatever she wants. And I guess, you know, it wasn't a big surprise that she put out an album, because she because she had that formation record and she did it for the Super Bowl. So I reckon it wasn't a big surprise that it dropped, because she's about to go on tour, I guess, in a couple months. I guess she's definitely got the formation tour. And I want to see if all the people that said that the police that said they were going to boycott the show, I'm going to see if they really are really going to do that. That's what I want to know. So yeah, I haven't listened to it all the way. I listened to maybe 3 or 4 songs, and I'll spin it and see what's going on with it, you know? Yeah, just let people have their fun, man. You know, of course people are going to do the hyperbolic thing and say, "Oh, well, Beyoncé is the most magnificent thing, and it's a thing." And then I guess now the thing where they're talking about her bigging up black women, I think that's cool. But everything else, you know, it's just people get out of hand with anything. And I guess life sucks sometimes. And if you have a thing that makes you happy, if a Beyonce record makes you smile, makes you dance, makes you want to twerk up on somebody, hey man, what can you do? What else has happened since the last time I talked to you guys? RG3, quarterback of the Browns now. So now I'm invested into the Browns. That's another, I don't know. What's the guy, Josh Gordon might be suspended again. And that's a weapon that RG3 could have. And I don't know if he's going to play, and we'll see. There was early talk about, there was talk at least sometime last week where they were talking about trades and the Browns were going to try to get Von Miller, but that was just gossip. So I don't know that that's going to happen, but yeah, so that's another team to be rooting for. Hashtag black quarterbacks, and the NFL draft is this week. Are there other movies that I could talk to you guys about? And then maybe I'll get the hell out of here. I just wanted to talk to you guys for a bit, because I haven't spoken to you guys in a while. Did you miss me? Did you guys even give a shit? I don't know. I was on the Black Guy Who Tips podcast last week. I blogged it. It's on the links on the Facebook page, and I retweeted that. So thanks for, if there's new listeners to this thing, thanks for listening. I appreciate it, and I hope you stay. I hope there's 164 of these things, as this one will be posted. Technically 165, because there's a bonus episode. But there's 160 plus of these things, and there's interviews, and I hope you enjoy it. I like to call them conversations, but you know, I asked the people about what it was like when they were kids and stuff. So Eye in the Sky, I saw The Boss. That was with, oh my God, I'm trying to think of it. I know it was Kristen Bell and Megan Mullally. No, it's not Megan Mullally. Oh my God, I see her face. What the hell? I'm losing it. I don't know what's wrong with me. Oh man, what the heck? It's Melissa McCarthy. Jesus. That was fun. Funniest movie I've seen this year. Melissa McCarthy had the funniest movie of last year, The Spy. It was just called Spy. And this one is The Boss. Spy and Boss. It's 19% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's bullshit. This one, I guess, had a hard R. This one was a hard R. And Spy was what? Was that PG-13? Spy was... Why are they trying to make this so hard when you try to... You know, every time I try to look up something, I don't know why they're trying to make this thing so hard. You could at least have the rating. You had the rating in the... It's just... Chris, calm down. You're just looking up the movie. Just looking up the movie listing. And that's what you're going to do. You're not... You're just going to... And you're going to tell them what the rating is. Oh, Spy was an R2. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, that's that. I mean, I thought Spy was the funniest movie of last year. Most of the movies that I saw, most of the movies that were in the theaters were pretty, it was just seriousness. This is a serious movie. We're stuck in a room and I was molested. Yeah, I'm a guy that wants to be a girl and I'm dressing up and I'm Danish. I'm a man in the wilderness in the 1800s and they killed my Indian half-breed son and it's snowing, a bear almost rapes me and I come back from that, the Revenant, you know, those type of really intense movies last year. And The Boss just seemed to be the biggest, just one of the biggest comedies, the only comedy that I really remember. I mean, Spy was the only comedy that I really remember from last year. And I'm not really gonna, I'm not gonna count any of the small movies that came out, but yeah, The Boss was funny. It's just, it's fun. It was funny. Some funny lines. Was sweet. There was some sweet moments there. I like that. I recommend that. I'm looking at my AMC stubs. Demolition with Jake Gyllenhaal and Chris Cooper. Jake Gyllenhaal plays this young guy, this young money man, Wall Street guy that loses his wife in a car accident. And then for the rest of the movie, he starts breaking shit so he can feel something. And then he learns a lesson. That's one of those. It's a good movie. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal is good in the movie. Good acting. A nice, not nice, but a good entertaining revelation. There's a couple good there's a couple of good revelations, I guess plot devices, plot revelations towards the end that was like, this is poignant, you guys. So I would recommend that. You don't need, it's probably out of the theater by now. It didn't last long, but if it's on cable, if it's on Redbox, it'll be something that you watch and be like, that was good. And Naomi Watts is in it. Aging white starlets. Ooh, yeah. Yes, she is. She still looks great, you know. Then I saw Barbershop 3, or Barbershop The Next Cut. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was always hashtag black actors. I really liked it. It was good to see black folks on screen. I felt like they handled the violence in Chicago, because it takes place in Chicago. I felt like they handled that well. And there was no big fanfare like it was for Chirac, you know. It was like, because Chirac was definitely, it was Chirac an allegory? This is gonna tell me whether I'm smart. No, I'm gonna look allegory up and see if it was one. A story, poem, or picture that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, typically moral or political one. I get Chirac could kind of be that. I mean, it was definitely over the top to a certain degree and ham-fisted. I remember that I did like the movie. I liked what they were trying to do. I liked the black actors. I liked the acting. I kind of fucked with the people doing the verse. That was cool. Some of the actors didn't handle it as well as others. I'm not going to name any names. But I would say both films dealt with the violence in Chicago. And I think I like the way they handled it on Barbershop. You know, there were definitely like some moments that were, I mean, we're all cynical beings. As the older we get, the more cynical we become. But Barbershop definitely had some sweet moments to it. And it had those, like, this is like a message and stuff. And it was going for something. And I feel like they handled it better than Chirac did. without being super preachy, if that makes any sense. I don't know, but I would just say Barbershop 3, I enjoyed it. There were some moments that I laughed, and there were corny moments. There was like an older couple like sitting in front of me. Like it was pretty much like less than 7 people in the theater because it was a like 5 o'clock movie, 5 in the afternoon on a Thursday, I want to say. Wednesday or Thursday, whenever I was... Wednesday, 5 on a Wednesday. It was good. Like, they were laughing at something that would be corny, and I think my parents would laugh at. And then that middle-aged couple laughing at a joke that I think my parents would have liked made me laugh and made me feel good. So, yeah, it's definitely a feel-good movie. There is a sad moment in it, but... And then my only disappointment was that Nicki Minaj and Eve didn't make out, you know, like two hot women kissing. Like they were kind of arguing. I was like, why don't you just kiss her? If you just kiss her, it'll be okay. Just kiss her. The creep inside of me wanted them to make out. So I saw that. Movies I'm looking forward to, obviously Captain America, Civil War. I'm locked in for that. I'm really excited. I might just make an event out of that. I might pre-order the ticket, or I might just go after work and just figure it out. 'Cause part of me just wants to see it in a relatively quiet theater like Portchester. If you're a subscriber to the show and you had, you know, remember Keenan talking about it, how it's just a place where it's not crazy, and you can just enjoy your movie without like teenagers just running up and down the fucking aisle and talking and shit. What movie was I watching? I was watching a movie, and there I don't remember what it was, and there were just kids acting up, and it was this older guy. Well, not an older guy, but a middle-aged guy. Like, he told on the kids, and they left, but then they came back, and he got in their face. Like, I applaud that dude, but I don't remember what movie it was. We were trying to watch it, and they were being annoying, man. Fucking kids! I don't remember what movie that was. But, yeah, so I'm really excited about that. Miles Ahead, I want to see. Maybe I'll try to get to that one tomorrow before a show. I want to see that. I'm excited to see that. Hashtag black actors, black directors. So you know I'm all in on that one. Keanu, hashtag black actors, comes out Friday. So that's one that I'll most likely see. I got a show this Friday, so probably see that after work. And then Green Room looks good. Although I talked to Andrew Short, and he seemed to be underwhelmed a little bit. I have to go back to him and see what he said. But that was something that, like, one of those A24 movies that are just like, oh shit, this is gonna be good. Like indie movie nerds like me and Andrew would be excited about, and they have just the good amount of like young white starlets that I would like. I think Alicia Cuthbert is in it. No, not Alicia Cuthbert. Let me see. Alia Shawkat is in it, and she's cute. Alia Shawkat. It would be nice if there was no, if I wasn't really quiet as I was. Oh, they put the fucking plot in. See, now they put the, okay, so. Who's the other? Imogen Poots? Imogen Poots looks like Alicia Cuthbert. So Anton Yelchin, Imogen Poots, Alia Shawkat, and Patrick Stewart are the notable people in this movie. So depending on what I'll try to see. If I whatever whichever ones I'll see, I'll tell you that I saw them and I'll talk about them. But yeah, I think that's it. I think I covered everything that I wanted to cover. I just wanted to, you know, say what's up to you guys and really get back into the swing of things. I'm sorry that I left you stranded out in the podcast universe, the hundreds of you that listen to this thing. But I was really trying to really put out a good show in Schenectady and really prepping for that and writing and living my life, you guys. So I will be back. We'll be back better than ever and try to get you some good conversations with some good and interesting people and hopefully more stand-up dates to come. And I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.